There was a time when Michael Lombardi was a regular on our show.
He was.
Remember?
Yes. Oh, I remember.
Yeah, Michael was with us once a week, every Tuesday during the NFL season.
Every Tuesday, he would torch the Browns. That's what the segment should have been called. Torch the Browns.
Torching the Browns?
Yes.
Well, Michael's had a really interesting career. He was with the Browns in the 80s and worked his way up from scout to personnel director to director of player personnel, and then was with the Eagles and the Raiders and Broncos, came back to the Browns as GM and vice president, then to the Patriots, and now he's the general manager at the University of North Carolina. And you're right, Andy, that sounds weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
There's some guys, some big-time guys, though, who have these jobs in college now. Michael has one at North Carolina. Andrew Luck is the general manager at Stanford, his alma mater. That's a big deal.
Just announced Dame Lillard is now the GM at Weber State.
Mm. Is he?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, he's got time on his hands this year as he heals up.
Sadly, yes.
Yes, that's unfortunate.
A lot of fun things to do in Ogden.
Yes. Well, Michael was on the morning show today talking with the morning guys. And obviously, you know, his main focus these days is North Carolina football. But it's not his entire focus, Daniel.
Yeah, he had a couple of thoughts about the training camp battle that was taking place in Cleveland, and the guys in the morning did a really nice job making sure, you know, hey, let's make sure you get your thoughts out there about how all of this is going. And let me tell you, as Michael Lombardi is known to do, he did not hold back when it came to the quarterback competition.
Football's a mathematical problem, and no one understands this. There's only so many reps every day at practice, and how you divide those reps is most critical in terms of how you're building your team. Because if you're giving 20 reps a day to a guy who's not going to ever play for you, you're wasting 20 reps. And once you determine what value you have in the player, who do you need to develop? Who don't you need to develop? It's impossible to develop two young quarterbacks at the same time. It's not college. We don't have 400 players on the field like they used to in college, where you could take everybody and move them to a side field and then go over. So to me, it's a very challenge. When you draft a guy in the third and then you come back and pick a guy in the fifth, it becomes very difficult. Look, Al Davis picked a quarterback in the first round from Tennessee State, and in the second round he picked Kenny Stabler. I wrote about it in Football Done Right. Now, how did he do that? That was a different time and period in the NFL, but I think it's really challenging today based on the rules and based on how much time you can be on the practice field. After you're up there, 2:45, that horn blows, and if you're not off the field, the Players Association is going to call you up.
That's absolutely factual information.
Football Done Right, by the way, is his new book that's out, or his book that's out.
Cool.
Yeah.
I hope he signs a copy and sends it to us.
Oh, well, you should beg him. Send him an email.
Beg him? I'll beg him.
Here, you want to text him?
Michael's right. And the one thing about that people might not get, it's a different time in the NFL, and things are so regimented by the Players Association that you can only do so much. You can only practice so many days in pads. You can only practice for so long, blah, 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 blah. As opposed to days gone by when you could just, you know, work the bejeebers out of these guys.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. And that makes it a really interesting situation as the Browns try and get reps for these guys. And you know, as we've heard too many times, people screaming that Shador is not getting the same type of reps as everybody else. And Dylan Gabriel might not be getting the same reps as Kenny Pickett was and everything else. Well, Michael just laid it out. If you don't think that guy's going to be playing for you, you're wasting those reps.
Yeah.
And that's what I think people need to grasp. And that's why I would assume the two veterans, when they're both healthy, Flacco and Pickett, are getting the most of the reps.
How about the fact that he said that you can't get two rookies ready at the same time?
I would agree with that.
I don't disagree with that at all. I that's why this whole thing's a conundrum. I don't want to step on the next couple cuts because I did hear some of this other stuff. But, you know, he did talk about.
Listen.
I'm sorry. But he also talked a little bit about, you know, what a draft class actually is and the way you should perceive it. I don't know if we have that or not. But if he doesn't, I'll tell you what he said.
Well, why not? Let's go there now.
All right.
What people don't understand about the NFL draft is it's always for your next year's team. It's never for the current team. Certainly, you'll get some production out of a draft pick during the current year, but really what you're building on is for the 26 team. He's not the 25 team. Could he go in and play? Perhaps. Would he be effective? Probably not fair to the kid. So I think ultimately every draft class is for the next year's team. You should be evaluating the 24 draft class for the Browns this year. How's that going to line up in terms of impacting their team and getting them over the top? That's really the fundamental question. As for the Sador Sanders media circus, I mean, look, that's created by the worldwide leader. No one loves to talk about one thing more than they do. And so that really, it's not the kids' fault that they do it all the time.
The only problem I had with what he said there was, I think the standard that he talks about making draft picks for the next season makes sense if your team is a winner. The problem for the Browns is when you're coming off a 3-win season, you need to pick for now. Think about it. You could have up to probably 5 rookies starting at any point during this season. Fannin could start at tight end if you need him to. Dylan Sampson's got the opportunity to start at running back. Quinshon Judkins, what happens. But Mason Graham and Carson Schlessinger. So, I mean, all of those guys could start, and you could have all those guys starting at one point during the season in the same game. So it's like, I understand what Michael's saying, but I also think that applies to teams that win.
I can't disagree with that. One thought that I have about what Michael said there, and Sanders and Gabriel. If you're giving Dylan Gabriel up until his hamstring thing more reps, I've kind of always thought since this all started that Sanders is a long-term investment by the Browns, and that maybe they're just trying to get Dylan Gabriel up to speed as a third-round pick and see if he can actually be the backup quarterback. You know what I mean? Can he be the backup this year to Flacco or Pickett, whoever's the starter? And if they think he can be, then maybe you move on from one of the veterans. If you don't think he can be the backup quarterback, you got to keep both veterans, and maybe you get rid of Dylan Gabriel. And you keep Sanders as the third guy that you hope to develop and see where he goes. It almost, the way it's been handled, Andy, almost makes me feel, when it comes to security and, you know, being a part of this organization longer term, mm-hmm. almost makes me feel that Sanders could be in that position more than Gabriel, despite the fact that he was drafted 2 rounds later, because they're not rushing him and they're giving him every chance to slow play his development. And Mary Kay just hammered on that too when we just talked to her.
It's about putting him in the right position to win. I agree with that. Especially for Sanders, I wonder, so let's just say everybody says Gabriel looks horrible right now. Let's go on that premise that people are saying that, well, maybe he doesn't look good because there's a transition period going on, and they may be, if you're right, Jeff, and they're trying to gear him up to be the backup quarterback, then, you know, they're throwing a semester's worth of work at him in 2-3 days.
He's being asked to do a lot more than Shedeur Sanders is in practice. Until his hamstring. That could lend itself to not being as successful.
Sure.
Right now.
I still see it, and I've always kind of seen this. It's one of the veterans and both of the rookies on the roster. That's what I've seen. One of the veterans, both of the rookies, if that's the way they're going to play it. It's risky. I think it's a little risky.
I do, too.
But you might be able to pull in a free agent at any point, too. So.
Except if Dylan Gabriel shows that he's competent and could be your backup quarterback, then it's not as risky. And
maybe that's what they're trying to find out. If that was the case, based on what we've heard over the last couple weeks, do you think that holds true today?
Let me find out how severe his hamstring is.
I don't think it has anything to do with the hamstring. It's if they had to start the season tomorrow and they had to either pick Pickett or Flacco.
One of those guys and the other's the backup.
Yeah, one of the veterans is the backup.
Yeah.
Not one of the rookies. So then one of the rookies.
Right now you're keeping both vets.
And now you're probably trying to slide one of the other rookies onto the practice squad if you can.
Well, Michael Lombardi also hammered home another point that I think a lot of us have forgotten over this journey. Rookies are bad. Usually rookie quarterbacks, about the same way.
It would be hard to put the kid in a position where he could be successful. Look, the quarterback position, and you're the head coach of the team, you got to be able to stand in front of the team and say, this player gives us the best chance to win the game. And I think that's really hard to do on rookie quarterbacks. You know, now, sometimes you're forced to do it. Pittsburgh was forced to do it when Tommy Maddox got hurt, and all of a sudden Ben Roethlisberger had to go play. So that's a different element. But I think it's really challenging for some rookie to come in and say, look at Caleb Williams. I mean, last year he was talked about as the greatest savior to the franchise. How many games did he win for the Bears? How many mistakes did he make that hurt his team? Look, Jaden Daniels did a tremendous job for their team, but that's a few and far between. I think it would be unfair to any young quarterback to put him into the fire, especially if you're not going to build your team around, look, we're going to win with defense, we're going to win with kicking game, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to limit the quarterback. That's hard to do in the NFL.
I like listening to Michael speak.
I do too.
He you know, say what you want about Michael. I know a lot of folks in Cleveland aren't crazy about him because they weren't happy with the way things went in any of his tenures here. But he knows his stuff, and I think those are some really on the money comments.
What do you think it was like when they walked in that locker room and told them Todd Philcox is going to start?
Well, that was not the best of moves. Vinny Testaverde was hurt at the time.
Right.
It would have been Vinny, but you cut Bernie, and then all of a sudden there's Todd Philcox playing in Seattle.
And maybe that's something he learned along the way.
Maybe.
I mean, you're just talking about walking in front of that locker room telling them that you've got somebody that maybe the front office doesn't totally trust to start. It's funny because as I listened to him say that, I was like, huh. Remember when you were here the first time and you guys decided Bernie had nothing left and that Todd Philcox was a better choice down the road? They knew they left themselves in the position.
Vinny was the guy.
But that could happen
Vinny was hurt.
Yeah, but they left themselves in that position when they decided they were going to let Bernie go. I can't believe I'm having an article or an argument about this. It's too late.
You're not.
No, I know we're not arguing. Just the fact that stuff burns in my mind about Bernie's exit still bothers me.
But I think, and not to be the guy who runs around dumping cold water on top of everything, the thing that I take away from Michael Lombardi, and especially in that cut, is the reminder that rookies are not good.
Yeah.
And especially in the early part of seasons, rookies are not good.
So how does that make you feel when I say you could have up to 5 on the field to start a game this year?
It makes you look at the over-under for this team and realize which direction is going to go. This is a developing team.
One thing, though, if I can throw this out. The one position where I think you eliminate the rookie status is running back. Running backs, as rookies, tend to perform really well because you get the ball, you see the hole, you go.
Jeff, your middle linebacker is essentially a captain. He hasn't played one NFL game, and they put the green dot on his helmet. Yeah, I mean, that's
sorry, Andy, didn't mean to cut
you off. Go ahead. That's right.
I'd love to see the numbers of rookie running backs from weeks like 1 to 4. And just because of the adjustment period that comes with going from college football, where, I mean, you're legitimately running, you know, as Moses parted the seas in the middle of the offensive line.
Oh, you mean the LeBron offense?
Pretty much. I mean, that's what you're running through. I mean, we watched it for years, you know, Wisconsin running backs forever. Those lines were, I mean, we could hit the hole at a Wisconsin line. And in the NFL, it's
although Ron Dane was pretty good. Let's not sell
it. I'm not trashing anybody. You know, Jonathan Taylor has been unbelievable since he's hit the NFL with the Colts.
Yeah.
But like, some of those holes were gargantuan. In the NFL, that's a crease. So I wonder if, like, weeks 1 through 4 on a rookie running back, what that looks like. Again, just one of those side quests that we could go on at some point.
Paul Hoynes covers the Guardians for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Hoynes is joining us in about 25 minutes right here on Baskin and Phelps. Up next, the NCAA has made a decision. I won't say insert your own joke here, but you'll like what it is coming up next.